So we're going to continue, y'all, in our sermon series quickly, y'all. I Love My Church, our second week of this series. You know, we're in the month of February. This is the love month, y'all. And, you know, chick-a-boom, this is love month. And we, you know, the retailers get all our money, you know. We buy the cars. You got a Valentine's. I didn't say Valentine. Valentine's, you know, you get the cards and the candy and the gifts and all of that stuff. The retailers get all the money, and we express our love to one another's husbands and wives and our children. We express our love to each other, but I think we ought to express our love for our church. Every church I've ever been a part of, I love that church. I love the church. I love God's people, because that's what church is really all about. That we ought to love the church the way God intended, the way Jesus did. He sacrificed his life for you and for me. He died on Calvary's cross. 3 days later, he got back with all power for you and for me, for the church. The church is made up of people. And so we ought to love people, y'all. All people, regardless of your background, your ethnicity, and all of that stuff, your socioeconomic, we ought to love people. But we're to love people outside the walls of the church as well. We got to love them too, because we're called to bring them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about love for the church. And so my hope is in this month of February, the love month, that we fall in love with our church all over again. So last week we talked about our love for the church. And love by connecting. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Then we set up for you the tabernacle and the temple scene, where the high priest would have to go into the holiest of holies, the place where symbolically God resided, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the high priest would go in and he would sprinkle blood on behalf of the sins of the people of Israel. But here in the New Testament, we have the great high priest. And his name is Jesus. And not only is he the great high priest, but he's also the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for the sins of you and for me. And so when you read the story in the Bible in the New Testament, that when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, listen, the veil in the temple, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And so symbolically, what that meant was we have an entrance, a way into God the Father, that I don't need a priest. I don't need a preacher. That I can come to God all by myself. You can go to God all by yourself. That he tore down that barrier, y'all. He tore down that fence. We talked about fences last week. And since he tore down the barrier between us and God, why do we put up the barriers between us and one another? As believers, if we say we love the church and we love God and we love people, we're to love each other and not put up fences and barriers in front of each other. We live in a time, y'all, where there's so many fences, so many barriers, you know, socioeconomic barriers, y'all. There are political barriers that people are putting up. But God is the God of all people, and he loves all people. We got to tear the fences down. I mentioned last week when I grew up, y'all, listen, in the front yard looked real good. The front yard was pristine. The grass looked good. You know, the bushes were cut really nice. But in the backyard, it was tore from the floor up. Because people didn't see. They didn't see the backyard because it was separated by a fence. And so we had a clothesline back there, y'all. Our mama would hang the clothes up. They flop in the wind, y'all. All your niceties, your undies, just flopping in the wind back in the backyard. That I had old basketball goal in the backyard, y'all. Big old dirt patch, y'all. Just look bad. Dirt flying everywhere. Listen, when it comes to our lives, y'all, sometimes there's dirt. Yeah. It's not prettified. I'm using that word. I'm a preacher. I can make up words. Prettified. Yeah. It doesn't look real good. But that's the place where people need to hang out. They need to hang out in your backyard and see the real you. Not just the front yard you, but the real you. So we are to love by connecting to one another, connecting in fellowship, connecting in community. We can allow people into the backyard of our lives and see how we really, really live. Second installment of our sermon series, it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to be ignorant of this. Mm-hmm. That ignorance is simply the absence of knowledge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul is saying, I want you to know and know for sure. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So in the second installment, I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, love by serving, getting in the game. Love by serving, getting in the game. That God has given every team member, every born-again believer, a supernatural ability to serve, to encourage, and help others in the church and the community at large. Church, again, here we know it's Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, you got your wings ready, don't you? You got them ready to put, dip them in the fryer. You know, you're gonna baptize them. You know, you're gonna sprinkle on the blood of the hot sauce on them. You know, you're getting them rings ready. And some of y'all, you claimed your team, one or the other, because yours didn't make it. They didn't make it to the playoffs. See, somebody tell me yours dropped out a whole long time ago before mine. At least they got to the playoffs. But anyway. Anyway, I don't want no cowboy jokes in here. We're going to shut it down. I don't want no cowboy jokes in here. But the Super Bowl teaches us something deeper than football. That when you think about the Super Bowl and they're out there on the playing field, there are absolutely no spectators on the field when it comes to Super Bowl. Nobody's walking around with their head up in the sky like we get ready to do a play and they're just looking around, looking at the birds. Look, they're playing their position. I believe the same thing is true for the kingdom of God. The same thing is true as it applies to the church that listen, there are no spectators. The living faith, I want to talk to you, encourage you today that God has given you a position. He's given you a play that you've got to play only you can do. He's given you a gifting and a calling. But the question is, will you get in the game? Will you stay in the game? Will you play your position? The church doesn't win when a few people play. It wins when everybody gets in the game. No spectators. No people just sitting on pews. That we got people engaged in ministry. Had our leadership meeting on yesterday, our workshop on yesterday, and it became apparent of the gaps that we have in the ministry where, like, our children's, they always have a need for people to be a part of our children's ministry. Gaps in the ministry. Listen, you know, being with children may not be your calling, but can you help? Can you be there? That all of us have a position to play, a role to play, but we need to get in our position and play it. So LSCC, I want you to look around real quick. Look, I don't do this very often, but you're going to open your mouth and say something to your neighbor, the neighbor next to you. Say, I have a position to play. Oh, say it like you mean, I have a position to play. I'm in the game. But are you? All right. The reality is we're better together because together we win. So in the text for today, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church because they were gifted but divided. They were talented but immature. They loved the spotlight, but they struggled with teamwork. Sounds like other churches out there not living faith, but churches around here somewhere. So Paul's listeners had gotten the purpose of these spiritual gifts all twisted up, especially as it related to the gift of tongues. That people walked around because they spoke in tongues, that they had these inflated egos. And many used their gifting in terms of spiritual manipulation. That they misused their spiritual gifts. Paul reminded the church that no spiritual gift makes anyone any superior to anybody else. That you may be gifted in a certain area, but that doesn't make you any better than anybody else. And not one gift is better than the other gifts. Why is that? All gifts, every last one of them, is given by the one Holy Spirit. So whether you are a preacher, a teacher, an usher, a greeter, a singer, or any other The Lord has blessed you with whatever gift you have for the church team. It's about Team Jesus. So I believe that Paul's words today can help Team Jesus continue to win as we love by serving God, as we love by serving Jesus, as we love by serving one another. So a few things I want to point out. The text today, we have baptism. We want to do that, y'all, so y'all can get home to y'all to the Super Bowl game. And so I want us to start out looking at, again, at verses 1 through 3, chapter 12, 1 through 3. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gets, so they got some questions about it. They're wondering what's going on. It's a lot going on, y'all. It's a lot going on in the church at Corinth, y'all. They were tore up from the floor. It's a lot going on, but I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along and worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So encourage our hearts from this thought, this first thought. You were drafted on purpose. Drafted on purpose. We know about the draft. People that are talented in, you know, college students and different abilities and giftings in football or basketball or whatever, and they get drafted into the game. Maybe they're the number one pick, number two pick, number three pick, y'all. I was the number one pick, but it would have been for eating Popeye's chicken. But they're drafted, y'all. They're drafted in because of their ability and their gifting, but you were drafted on purpose, but it wasn't because of your gifting. It wasn't because of your ability. Women, because of how successful you are. That when you believed on the name of Jesus, that you were equipped with a spiritual gift, you were drafted in, you were drawn in after you were saved by Jesus Christ. So Gentile converts in the Corinthian church came out of a pagan society. They were non-Jewish people. They were idol worshipers. But they came out of the darkness into the marvelous light. But several of them that say they were on the team, y'all, they really weren't on the team. Because they were acting unspiritual and operating in the flesh. Lord, help us today. That they were given over to their own lust, their own desires, their own ego, their own ways of being. And Lord, help the church today when if we operate in unspiritually, operating in our flesh. That the praise team would be tore up when people if they were operating. I'm glad that they are led by the Spirit, that they're operating according to the Spirit. But God, help the church where there's a church for the people that are being unspiritual, that are operating in the flesh, that they're petty, that they get upset at any little thing, and they want to take their ball and they want to go home because you said something to them. You have to remember you were drafted on purpose, not because of your gifting or anything good about you. But it's about your faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says the test of those who are genuine in their faith and use, he's talking about a speaking gift, but whatever gift it is, that when one affirms the lordship of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That whatever gifting you have, guess who gets the glory? No, not you. God gets the glory. People may say to you, listen, you did well in that area. Say thank you. But make sure you give praise and honor and glory to God for what he's done in and through you. It's about him and not about us. So if you are on Team Jesus, again, it's about him and he always gets the glory. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, that you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful or marvelous light. That you're called by God, made by him. So all of us have these appliances that we have at the house. Y'all, we got the refrigerator. We got the stove. We got the oven. We got dishwashers. Y'all, we got microwaves. We got appliances at home. And those appliances were made for a specific purpose. No one takes you want to cook a roast, and so you put it in the refrigerator to cook it. It's not going to get done. Nobody's going to eat it. But you don't take milk and eggs and store it in the oven either. That's not where it goes. That's not the purpose or the intent of the oven. That it was created, it was made, it was manufactured, it was made for a specific purpose. The Creator dictates and determines what the created thing does. I'm talking to us this morning. The Creator dictates how we are to operate. And he does it by the way of the Holy Spirit. You have been given a gift. I've been given a gift. Everybody's gift is not the same. We are all God's creation. We are a new creation created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And he endows us with his Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do. You have to understand something. Your ministry may be your ministry. It may not be my ministry. That everybody doesn't necessarily have the same ministry. So if you don't like getting up early in the morning before you get your 3 cups of coffee and standing outside in the lobby out there, you're frowning at folk, listen, the greeting people is probably not your ministry. It's probably not your ministry. Now, maybe you love children, but you can't stand more than 5 of them at one time. And so maybe the children is not your ministry. And Lord, help us, listen, maybe you love to sing, but the reality, you are a shower singer. You are a alone singer. You do well in your car all by yourself. Then being on the praise team, that's not your ministry. So accept it. Your ministry is your ministry. Your gifting is your gifting, and your calling and mine is mine. But we're not being any better than the other person. We are God's new creation. The Holy Spirit determines our use, what we are designed to do. He gives us purpose. So I really believe this. And walking in God's unique design, his purpose, his crafting for your life, gives you a sense of joy and a sense of real purpose. All of us have a draft story. You were drafted on purpose. All of us have a draft story. The Apostle Paul had his Damascus Road draft story. What did God deliver you from? What did he deliver you out of? What did he deliver you to do? What did he draft you to do and me to do? Listen, you didn't just stumble into salvation. God saved you and he chose you. Before you even knew that you had a gift, God already had a position for you on his team. Before you knew what your calling ever was, God already had an assignment for you and for me. You weren't saved to sit down in a chair or on a pew. That you were saved to serve God, the true and the living God. You were drafted on purpose, and ultimately that purpose is really to affirm the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's to lift him up and to magnify his name. It's all about him. Yeah. So you and I both have a draft story. Know this too, looking at verses 4-6 as we go quickly here. Verses 4-6 as I read again quickly. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Same God. Yes, so say this with me. Same team.
Same team.
Different positions.
Same team.
Same team.
Different positions.
That's it. Getting into the game requires finding your place and operating in your position, not somebody else's. That we have to learn how to stay in our lane, the one that's been given to us by God. Looking at the text real quick, just start skimming down, starting at verse 8. You see all of these wonderful gifts of the Spirit, wise advice and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles. The list goes on. Now, there's some theologians, some Bible people that say, well, that's it. That's the complete list. I don't know if this is the exhaustive list of the gifts that he's given. So some will say that, you know, I'm a dispensationalist, and so all of those gifts they're not some of them aren't around anymore. I just believe he's the same God back then, the same God right now, and however the Holy Spirit decides he wants to place gifts within a congregation, he does that. So I don't want to argue that point, but I do want to let you know that all of us have at least one spiritual gift. When you got saved, you got a gift from the Holy Spirit. You got one, maybe more than one gift, but listen, you don't have all the gifts.
That's right.
Sister Love and I told folks this morning, real story, we're talking to one of the sisters, y'all. We just had a good conversation. And she blurted out real quick, you know, the Lord blessed me with all the gifts. She didn't grin. She didn't smile. She was straight up. She was serious. The Holy Ghost gave me all the gifts. I said, ooh, you're such a bad sister. That's what I'm thinking in my head. You bad. You can preach, you can teach, you can miracle. You can do it all, but you don't even need a church. It's just you and the Holy Spirit because you got all the gifts. Beloved, you have at least one spiritual gift. If you don't know what that spiritual gift is, you ought to be seeking the Holy Spirit. You ought to be praying and asking God, God, what is it you have for me? Because I want to be used. I want to be used by you. So we may not be on the same course, but we have the same source. That's the Holy Spirit. And so we have to learn how to celebrate y'all and not hate. You know, so one of the abilities, we'll call it an ability of Reverend Terrell, you know, man, back in the day, his knees ain't good like they used to be, but man, just mime and he has a speaking ability too. He had the creative arts ability, y'all, to do plays and stuff like that. You know, I ain't got that. You know, I never have, never will. You know, dancing was never my thing. You know, but that's it. That's a part of his gifting. You have something that God's called you to do. Are you using it for the body? Yeah, and don't hate just because somebody can sing you under the seat, they can sing your socks off, and you can't. Don't be mad at them. Thank God for the gift that he gave you. Thank God for the gift that he gave you. Growing up, y'all, we played on the football field at Alsea Elementary, two blocks up from my house. And every Saturday when we gathered together, everybody wanted a particular position. Everybody wanted to be the quarterback. But guess what? Everybody can't be the quarterback. You got to have a defensive line. You got to have an offensive line. You got to have some running. You got to play a position. Everybody wanted to be the quarterback. But everybody can't be the quarterback. By God's grace and his mercy, he allowed me, privileged me to pastor God's people. As a role, Reverend J.C., that we take seriously. But that's not everybody's ministry. That's not everybody's calling. Man, God has to fashion you and shape you in a certain way to lead God's people. Amen, love, amen, 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 love. But I love y'all. I love y'all. But you have a gifting too. It may not be preaching. It might be teaching. It might be encouraging. It might be in hospitality. Use your gifting to the best. Play your position. The lineman doesn't get applause in the game, but the lineman is needed in the game of football. Without the lineman, the quarterback gets sacked. He gets taken down fast. Same team, different positions. Same team, different positions. Last thing, y'all, we're going to be out. We're going to go ahead and do some baptisms. Verse 7, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the same source of them all. That lets us know the game is won by participation. Verse 7 says, the gift is given to each one of us. All of us have a gift, but they're to help each other. That your gifting is for me and mine is for you. It's not about ego. It's not about applause. That we can't look at spiritual gifts like they're trophies. You know how you win a trophy and you set it up on the shelf and it looks real good. You wipe the dust off of it every once in a while. Yeah, that looks real good right there. That as a church, we can't take our spiritual and sit it up on a shelf. This is what God gave me, but I don't put it to use. That your gifting is a tool to be used by God. Your gift is for me and my gift is for you. I need you to cover me. If I'm out here running and I'm trying to play the game and you're supposed to be covered, I need you to cover me because we want to win. We want to score. Yeah. Who in this house has ever felt like you've ever been left out? You wanted to be on the team, but you got cut. You wanted to be on the track team, but you wasn't fast enough. You wanted to play basketball, but maybe you weren't tall. You didn't have the skill set. You wanted to be the star running back, but you couldn't do it like that. And y'all, when it came to the final night, you got cut from the team. Y'all, anybody remember what you ever had that happen to you? You got cut. How about real life for a minute? You ever teamed up with a man or a woman, pledged your love to them for the rest of your life, but somehow you got cut from the team. They traded you for another team player. That job that you want, you loved that job. You were waiting for elevation and promotion, but listen, when it came to your name, they cut you. They put you somewhere else. And somebody else that was less qualified than you got the position because you didn't play the games like they played the games. You know how that feels. But the good news today, that when you on Team Jesus, you will never be cut. He'll never cut you from the team. As a matter, he welcomes you on his team to be used by him. The game is won by participation. You got to participate in this thing. So an unused gift becomes a wasted win in that sense. I just believe the anointing of God, the Spirit of God flows, y'all, when there is action, when we're moving and we're doing something. Sitting is simply not an option. Yeah. And I know some people get tired. You get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Some people are hurt. Some have experienced church hurt. We know what that's like. But quitting is not the answer. Throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I'm done, I quit, I'm taking my, that's not the answer. When the Super Bowl game ends, one team will lift up their trophy tonight. Somebody will be baptized in Gatorade or something like that. Do they still allow that? Yeah, okay, somebody going to get baptized in the big bucket of Gatorade, and somebody, the confetti will come down, and maybe somebody will say, I'm going to Disneyland. But one team will win. Not because of one player, not because of the quarterback or one player's greatness, but because the team worked together to get the job done, and they will win the game. Listen, I love my church, and I simply see myself as a player on the team, and it's really not a game. It's really about life and what's real. But God has allowed me, privileged me to be a part of Team LFCC, and I love this church, and I love you. And if we are going to win, we have to win together and not by ourselves. So I'm in the game, y'all, and I'm staying in the game. Yeah. Repeat after me, amen, amen. Repeat after me real quick. No spectators.
No spectators.
No sidelines.
No sidelines.
No bench warmers.
No bench warmers.
Now say it like you mean it for real. No spectators.
No spectators.
No sidelines.
No sidelines.
And no bench warmers. We got to get in the game and stay in the game. Hallelujah and amen. Real quick, anybody ever been to, I'm sure we all have, junior high school football game, basketball game, and you watch the players that are on the bench. And they sitting there, y'all, and you see at least one of them out there, they really excited. They legs jittering, y'all. They get up and walk side to side. They get up and walk side. They looking at the game. They walking side to side. And they'll yell out, coach, put me in the game. Coach, I want to be in the game. I'm ready to play the game. That's what the church should look like. Jesus, put me in the game. You got the gift again. Put me in the game. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to do what you want me to do because I'm in the game. And I'm in it to win it. Hallelujah and amen, somebody. So the question remains, how do I get into the game? That's a good question. I know you want to know, how do I get in? First thing is this, know that you're needed. Know that you are wanted. Know that you are a part of Team LFCC. Know that we want you in the game. We want you to utilize your gifting, your skills, your abilities, and your talents. And so stop waiting to be picked. I'll just sit here and I'll sit here until they ask me to do something. Stop waiting to be picked. You've already been chosen by God.
Yeah.
And please, don't disqualify yourself. If Jesus qualified you, if he equipped you, you have everything that you need.
Yeah.
So know that you are needed. This other thing, discover your position. Again, everybody has a lane. Everybody has a position to play. But you have to find your position, find your lane, and you need to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a dangerous thing, isn't it, when you're driving on a highway and you in your lane, but the person right next to you decide they want your lane and they move over on you. That it's tragic. It's not good. So get in your lane. Discover your position and you stay there. You don't have to play every position. Just play yours well. So if you are an encourager or a teacher or a servant or a giver or a leader or intercessor, you pray, listen, stay in your lane. And make the prayer, Lord, show me where I fit in. We have a spiritual gifts inventory that we offer online. You can take that. I say pray about it first. Ask some of the leaders in the church, where might I be needed? Pay attention to what you're burdened about, what you're passionate about, what you feel like you have that burning desire in your heart that you really want to do. That's oftentimes your gift. And then start where you are. You don't need a title, y'all, to make an impact. Too many people in the church are waiting for this title. What's my title going to be? Is it going to be pastor? Is it going to be preacher? Is it going to be minister? We're all ministers and servants. Is it going to be what? Don't wait on that. You may not never get a title, but you can operate in your gifting. You hear what I said? Maybe you won't have it, but you'll operate in your gifting. Great teams are built on availability, not ability. The bench is full of talented people. Championships are won by dependable people. So will you be committed? Will you be dependable? And then stay coachable. Correction, y'all, it's not rejection. It's preparation. A lot of times people get all up in their feelings, they get all upset because somebody said something to me. I'm operating in my gift and in my calling, but they said something I didn't like. And so we want to pick our ball and go home. Listen, it's the same God that works in you, that works in me, and that works in all of us. So if you can't be coached, you cannot be trusted. You have to be teachable. You have to be open to exchange and constructive criticism. If you're going to grow, listen, you got to get used to it. Again, if you can't be coached, you cannot be trusted. So receive some feedback and without offense. Don't get mad and upset. I'm going home. I ain't coming back to that church no more. Don't leave with that kind of attitude. Just stay coachable. Then commit to the team. It's the final thing. Commit to the team. If you are a part of Living Faith Community Church, we need you to commit to the team. God is growing this church, doing marvelous things in this church, but we need you. We need you. That if you're not engaged, if you're not committed to the team, to be committed to the team. The game is won by people who show up consistently. Talent shows up when it feels like it. Commitment shows up no matter what. I don't know about you, but I love my church. I love to serve. I love you, God's people. That we love people that are out there that are without relationship with Christ. We want to reach them for the kingdom. But here's the point. In the end, for us as believers, we're on Team Jesus. The reality is we've already won. So we don't have to wait for the game to be over. Then we can give praise and shouts to God right now. Somebody's waiting right now to praise and shout over one of these two teams that's going to win. But we on Team Jesus, we can stand up on our feet right now and give God praise. We can lift up our hands and open up my mouth. We can tell God, thank you. We can shout hallelujah. We've already won. We've already won. Some headaches, but I've already won. Some heartache, but I've already won. Sometimes it's, but I've already won. We've already won in Jesus. So church, please get in where you fit in. And when you fit in, you can give God some show enough praise. And the church said, amen. Amen and amen. Come on, give God praise in the house today. Come on, give God praise in the house today. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for saving you. Praise God for delivering you and keeping you. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. And amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this moment. Father, we thank you for this word today. As born again believers, we are on Team Jesus. And according to your word, we have been commanded to get in where we fit in. That Holy Ghost, you gave us a spiritual gift to be used for the upbuilding of the kingdom, to help and to encourage one another. And it's our heart's desire to do just that. So where we have not been committed, where we have not been faithful, forgive us. But let it be our heart's desire today that from this day forward, listen, I'm going to be dependable. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to get in the game. And I'm going to stay in the game. Continue to serve you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's someone here today that Lord, you already know they're without a relationship with Jesus. And the reality is, we know, Lord, that everything starts with a relationship with Jesus. Because without him, we're not on the playing field. So speak to a heart right now. If a person is here, they're out of fellowship with Jesus. They don't have a relationship with him. Or perhaps they're out of fellowship with the church. They know Jesus, but they're not connected. Speak to that heart right now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus is eternal life. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you to come today. Our ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. Follow them across the hallway to room number one. You'll meet a new member ministry advisor. They will gather information, answer any questions you might have, and we'll welcome you to living faith, welcome you into the kingdom with open arms. If by chance you are already a born-again believer, you have a relationship with Jesus, but perhaps you're out of fellowship, you don't really worship anywhere on a consistent basis, you don't have a church family that you're a part of, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church home, your church of choice. Hands are extended right now. Won't you come? Won't you come right now?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.